Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Tom moves up the middle, throws across the middle, touchdown Edelman!
Julian Edelman plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Hey, you doing stanky legs?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
I wish somebody would have marooned us.
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb! Go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb!
Walled it, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, baby, wake up from your sleep. We have arrived onto the future, and the whole world is become electronic, supersonic, supersonic, electronic. Hey baby, ride with me away. We doesn't have much time. My blue jeans is tight, so onto my love rocket climb. Inside tank of fuel is not fuel, but love. Above us, there is nothing above, but the stars above.
All systems gone. Prepare for down count.
5, 4. Rocket, you no need put money in my pocket. The door is closed, I just lock it. I put my glow plug in your socket. Hey, love crusader, I want to be your space invader.
Morning, everybody. 6:04, it's the Tutcher and Rich Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub, and Fred is out. To my left, Mr. Adam Jones, the Prince of Darkness, the man who yesterday, when I saw Kyrie Irving speaking, I was saying, why do I have a feeling like Mr. Burns? He is rubbing his hands together going, let me touch this one.
Just the right guy to have in. I don't even need to do that. Like Kyrie does this every day now.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later on because I told you what I thought about Anthony Davis yesterday, how I was completely grossed out by the entire situation, and I'm done reporting on Anthony Davis until there's actual news. It's the whole thing grossed me out. The Kyrie Irving thing is interesting because I love Kyrie Irving the player. Like I've always loved his game. And when the Celtics got him, I'm like, this is the key to a championship. He's making it really tough for me to like Kyrie Irving the person. It's really, really tough. Now, I can tolerate it, and I don't have to like Kyrie Irving the person to want him to be successful as a Boston Celtic. However, kind of sucks a little bit of the fun out of it, doesn't it?
I think the other day I called it, it's been a miserable experience. Like, being a Celtics fan this year, unlike the last couple of years.
It's right, yeah.
The team is more talented, and the team might even be better at the end of the day. Like, they might go on a deeper run. I'm not totally ruling that out. I'd probably wager against it, but I'm not totally ruling that out. But at least the last couple of years, it was a fun experience to be a fan of the team. Mm-hmm. Bright future, team exceeds expectations. No real drama.
Yeah.
I don't want to say zero drama, but nothing that gets close to this. This has been a long slog of a miserable experience if you're a Celtics fan. Like, this has been a tough team to invest in.
So we'll get to that in a little bit. Also, of course, I don't know if anybody else stayed up late to watch that Bruins game. You watched most of it, right?
Actually, Jones and I both watched the first two periods.
I was out after the second period.
Okay,
yeah,
I watched it all the way through. Like, when they went to overtime, I actually just fell asleep. I did. And so, and it's weird because...
You made it all the way to overtime and then...
And then I fell asleep. I know.
Couldn't make it.
I wanted to, but I literally just fell asleep.
You also have to remember, Rich was out late last night.
You know what? I wasn't as late as that. This is weird. Okay, so this is pretty strange. So there's a group of us that were going to go out to dinner last night, and afterwards, one of the couples is like, hey, there's this concert that's going to be across the street. And I'm like, all right, who is it? They give me the name of the person, and it's a DJ named Tourist. And he was playing at this place.
Tourist?
Yeah. He's playing at this place, like, right next
glow
to the Middle
stick,
East.
Glow stick.
Yeah. It used to be the old TT the Bears, right at Central Square. And now they've, like, completely gutted it out. It's called Sonia.
Sonia.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, all right. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, geez, I'm going to be out late. And so we go to dinner. It's, like, 7 o'clock. And it's like 9:30 when we're done.
This sounds like a Stefan bit, by the way.
It's called Sonia. It used to be Tea to the Bears, and they would put little people in suitcases.
His name is Tourist.
Yeah, well, that was his name.
And he has a giant fanny pack.
So, by the way, the music's good. And I mean, I listened to some of the stuff. I'm like, all right, this guy's all right. So we go over to this place, and it's like 9:45, and I'm thinking, okay, he's probably not gone on stage yet. You know, it's one of these, you know, it's like a techno show and stuff, you know, those usually go on a little bit later. And I show up, and the concert's already going. I'm like, okay. I walk in, it's 9:45. At 10 o'clock, thanks a bunch, everyone. I'm Tourist. And he walks up the stage. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I literally went for 15 minutes.
What a gig.
Is there a curfew?
Show.
I mean, why would you do that?
I guess he went on stage around like 8:45, played for an hour and 15 minutes, and that was done. And I'm watching all these people who are just, you know, obviously under the influence of some substances and stuff. It's like way too early to go home for them. And then, by the way, nothing better than a techno crowd when the ugly lights come on. It's just like, whoa.
Oh, man. All right.
But I do, and I need... Okay, Nick, you have worked for like Boston Calling. You go to a ton of concerts and things like that. I've been to a million live shows before. I don't go to a ton of DJ shows. Like, I've been to clubs where a DJ's playing, but this is one of the rare shows I've been to where the DJ is the star and it's his concert and everyone's watching the guy on stage. What is the DJ doing other than pressing play? Because I respect these guys in their writing, like, you know, like to actually write all that stuff and produce it and to put it together in a studio, you have to be wildly talented to do that. However,
you respect the studio aspect, maybe not the performance aspect so much.
I totally respect the studio.
Are they performing? That's the thing.
So he goes up there and, like, you know, the music's playing and you see him like twisting these knobs and stuff. And I'm like, these knobs aren't doing anything. This sounds exactly like the song on the CD. And like, he's doing all this and he's pumping his fist. And then you see him like do this little twist and stuff with the knobs. And I'm like, there's literally no change between when the knob was to the left and when the knob is to the right. It's the same beat and same like riff I've heard for the last minute and a half, and nothing has changed. So there's one part where he's like, the music's kind of gone down and you see him doing something on his computer. And my friend's like, what do you think he's doing? I said, he's buying his own single off iTunes right now so he can play it. It's like, yeah, right. He's opening up his MP3 file that he emailed himself from Sweden, wherever he lives, and went to go play it. And I'm wondering, I mean, like, do they do anything other than, like, press play and let it go?
Put on a show.
And then pump their fist and make and have, like, flashy lights.
That's what I mean by put on a show.
Sure.
They're in charge of the flashing lights?
No. There's flashy light guy. You know, flashy light guys.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of times why when you go to Vegas and you see these, you know, DJs that get paid tons of money, they have massive, massive light shows. I think that's because they're literally doing nothing while they're standing there.
Right. So you need something else to distract the eye.
You're telling me DJ Pauly D doesn't do anything?
Well, I mean, every once in a while he hits a sample that says, making the girls' panties dry.
I can see
someone playing a sample every once in a while. But if it's a guy who's out there playing his hits, what are you doing other than pressing play on the thing you recorded? Once again, I'm not knocking DJs because the stuff that they do in the studio, it's just like a musician. It's wildly talented, layers upon layers and all that stuff. That's great. But if you're not a band playing live instruments and it's all digital, what are you doing other than pressing play?
I wish he'd just commit to the bit of being like a tourist. Like, he's like, hey.
Like, he shows up in a Tommy Bahama.
Yeah, he's like, where's the Freedom Trail? And that's just what he's doing the whole time, live performing.
Right.
It's just like a running bit.
This song is called Let's Go to Cheers.
Yeah.
All right, let's line one. Let's go to, hey, Dan. Let's go to Dan. What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, man. Yeah, I'm into that music and everything, and I watch, like, YouTube videos of live performances, and you're right, he's jumping up and down, swinging his arms. The crowd loves it because you want to see your, you know, artist live, but it's not really something you can do. Like, I've seen a couple of, like, overseas DJ groups where one person's scratching, another one's doing another thing, and they're actually doing it live, but... Yeah. Most of that stuff where it's all the crazy sounds and techno stuff, it's all pre-done. But you're right. I don't know. What are you supposed to do? You got to get up there and be like, hey, it's me. I made this. But it's like, I can't, like, do it live. So you got to jump around and wave your hands like, hey.
Sure.
And they, like, yell a lot. They're like, hey, people, can you hear me? And, like, you know, it's like, all right. Well, but, yeah, I totally agree, man.
Well, that's why, like, Deadmau5, you know, had to have, like, the big helmet on that, you know, with the lights on it and things, because it distracts you. It's
right.
Like, okay, this is a cool show. And, like, you know, Marshmello and all these guys. I mean, everyone's kind of got a thing and a shtick. And as I said, it's like, it's nothing against who they are as musicians, but once you perform it live, literally what do you have to do other than to press play? There's no drum solo, you know,
Did it seem like people know that and just don't care, or do people just not know?
And you know what, to be honest, I didn't care. I just found it funny. I mean, if you're going to go, you're going to have a good time and to feel good and to jump around and dance around. And it's cool that this guy's there because you like that person's music, but it is kind of funny because I think there's a decent amount of DJs that pretend they're doing stuff and nothing's actually happening.
Right.
Let's go to Kevin. He's offended of my assessment of what I saw last night. Kevin, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Yeah, Rich. I've been a nightclub / bar DJ in Boston for, whatever, 15 to 18 years.
Okay, real quick, but before you go on, Kevin, that's a different gig. That's a completely different gig because, like, a guy who spins music at a club – you have to make different songs mesh together. You are actually doing work. And I've seen people put the headphones on, matching the beat so they all sync together. That's completely different than someone who writes an album's worth of music and then performs his own stuff. Because what do you have to do other than press play?
Fair enough. I didn't know you differentiated between that, so I had no argument with you then.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, that's actual work. Like, I mean, as someone who can mix one song into the next, like, I don't even know how tough it is because technology nowadays basically can match the beats up for you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're actually working. No, I mean, they can. I mean, but the buttons need to be pressed.
Yes.
Unless you make a mix of it before you go to the club, and then you just press play on your
guys. Going
to
call back.
Now we're on to something.
No, but couldn't you see somebody doing that? Like, completely making an hour and a half mix?
Make it much easier for yourself.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
No, sure. That way there's no chance of an F up when you're doing it live. You just press play, and boom. There goes your whole mix.
Yeah, that's way easier for you.
I was watching it. I'm just thinking to myself, he's faking half this. There's nothing he's doing when he turns that or presses that button that sounded different from literally the whole last minute of the same beat.
What was he saying? He's not like a Pauly D, like he said.
And what's great?
Making the panties drop.
I ain't making the panties drop. But the best is like when there's like a singer, unlike like you know, there's like some of these DJs have hits, and they'll get like you know, I'm trying to think of like what's the bulletproof song? It's you know
I know this
the Titanium. You know, you got like there'll be songs that DJs will have with like Sia singing and stuff like that. And I'm like, Sia's not there, so they're just pressing play. And once again, it's a recording of Sia. Everything's a recording, and you're wildly talented to write it. But live, you're faking it up there. You're hardly doing anything. There might be one or two things you might do to kind of tweak a little bit of a sound, but you're pressing play and pretending to turn ups, which. There's no shame in it. You're getting paid a ton. It's a great gig.
No, it's a real nice gig.
Yeah. So there you go. That was and it was done by 10, which was the weirdest thing ever. So I watched almost the entire Bruins game. which was great. And I'm glad I did because it was a great game, which we will
back
get
for
to.
Puck drop.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about that game on top of that, the Kyrie Irving stuff, and what happened with Zion Williamson last night, man. That was
very funny.
Funny, scary, all together, and all the other shoe companies. Are licking their chops. Yeah. We'll get to that.
The Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Last night. 9-5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and your Boston Bruins cannot be stopped.
Top shelf.
Wheels to the far circle. Now to the slot. Shoots. He scores. David Backes ices this one. The Boston Bruins have won 7 consecutive games. They're a perfect 4-0 on the trip, and they win it 3-2 here in the shootout in Vegas.
That is right. The Bruins have now won 7 games in a row since our Pucks and Paddles event a week ago. 3-2, the final score in a shootout OT, thanks to the stick of David Backus, of all people. That's when you know you're witnessing something truly special. When David Backus is winning you games.
5 goals all season.
Unbelievable.
There he is, round 6 of the shootout.
Right there at the end. Another exciting game that, unfortunately, most fans in Boston weren't able to see in its entirety. But just know this. The TNR bump is real, and it is unstoppable.
Snapped it into the far corner. DeBrusk deflects it over to the near side. Krejci centers. DeBrusk shoots. He scores! What a 360 that was! Jake DeBrusk caught it in the slot. Spun and rifled it over the glove hand of Marc-Andre Fleury. Bruins 1, Golden Knights nothing.
Every time he scores, I look down at my mentions on Twitter, and it's like,
blows up.
It's like... You did it again, guys. You had DeBrusk on the show. You busted the slump.
He was feeling it. You see that move in front of the net?
It was a spin right around, highlight reel to open up the scoring. I mean, it was really impressive, and he's been impressive. That's 5 straight games where he scored a goal, and I don't even know how many points he's had because he's had a few assists. Is it 10?
5 goals, 5 assists in his last 5 games.
Okay. I mean, he's been probably the best player in the Bruins.
I would agree.
Over the last streak. Yep. So, and it's good to see him doing that. Also, it's good to see this guy back to his normal playmaking self.
Here is Danton Heinen. Now Marshall to Braun. He scores! A rocket for Braun Marshall. And the Bruins have the lead 2-1 early in the third period.
And speaking of defense and making decisions with the puck, watch Charlie McAvoy.
Okay, a couple things about that. First of all, hearing Dave Gosher on the TV broadcast calling a Marchand goal just feels like home again. It was awesome watching that. The second thing is, man, that crowd went nuts for Brad Marchand. And Third of all, do they play, like, super cool music when the other team scores?
That's all weird.
Like that,
all of it.
It sounded like a Bruins home game with crappier music. Although... The goal scoring song, the Kern Kraft, whatever, like Zombie Nation. I think we all agree might need to be changed.
Outdated. Yes.
Did you hear that though?
I didn't notice the music. The crowd pop. I noticed.
Listen
though.
To the music. It's like party time.
Here is Danton Heinen. Now Marshall to Braun. He scores. A rocket for Braun Marshall.
Why are they playing
music? And the Bruins have the lead 2-1 early in the third.
What is that?
And speaking of defense and making decisions with the puck. Watch Charlie McAvoy.
Is that like Brian Adams or something? It sounds like company picnic
cuts
music.
Like a knife? What are we playing here?
Do they play? I mean, Vegas has everything different. We know that. I mean, the knights and the war that they have with the swords and the dragons and stuff at the beginning of the game. It's like nothing you've ever seen. But they play music when the other team scores?
Yeah, that
seems
weird.
Very, very
like
strange.
The pop is not shocking because Vegas is such a destination for every other fan base. It's like, okay, especially an Original Six franchise and a team with a hardcore following. I'd imagine the Bruins wouldn't be the only team to get that, but... Yeah, why are you getting goal music?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all different there. It's very weird. But it was even an ex-Bruin who scored last night in Riley Nash for the Golden Knights. That was interesting to see. Halak, he looked strong as well. He made some monster saves last night. There was a breakaway. I forgot who it was from, but he just absolutely stoned the guy. Halak seems to be getting back to what he was before the slump. I mean, everyone seems to be on this level now, and it's weird because they're doing this all without Pasternak.
Okay, third best record in the NHL, and that's only because Calgary won last night. 4 points up now on Toronto with 2 games in hand. You impressed yet, Jones?
Yeah. Okay. I'm impressed with how they're playing, but...
I mean, are there any qualifiers you want to tack on to this?
No, you mentioned the games in hand. No, I just think that I think that's important.
Okay.
I think that's important
just
to point out.
Sure, they were all on even footing here. All
yeah,
right, that's
no,
fine.
I mean, they're red hot. It's just... It just feels like when they don't have David Pastrnak, at some point, they're going to have to do something different. They're going to have to fortify things. Making the trade they made yesterday might help.
Yeah.
I hope they look a little bigger than that because I think you have to know, as red hot as you are, this is not sustainable, right? It's not sustainable.
Yes, over 30 or 40. We said that yesterday.
And I don't mean
2 days ago.
I don't mean winning every night. I just mean, you know, probably even being the number 2 team in the division is not sustainable as currently constituted. So hopefully they're thinking bigger before the deadline. Well, hopefully this gets Don Sweeney to buy in and think bigger.
Well, here's Bruce Cassidy after the game.
You know, the whole month we've been good, consistent. Part of that is to do with our lineup has become consistent because our injured guys are back. They've got some time under their belt. You know, we had a lot of different guys in and out, so we're gaining some chemistry.
And then there's David Backes, who after the game said it might have been a conversation with Bruce Cassidy that got him out of his slump.
Yeah, you know what? I had a little meeting with Butchie yesterday, and we cleared the air on some stuff and kind of got a renewed frame of mind and went out there and just kind of played a free game. And I think the result was what we wanted. And then we get to the shootout. Overtime's not really my specialty. Kind of sit there as a cheerleader most of it, and got my name called and didn't want to let the guys down and was able to capitalize. Yeah.
Good job there, Butchie Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Well, this road trip couldn't possibly be going any better. They'll wrap it up with the game Saturday against St. Louis. But in the meantime, the Bruins announced that they made a trade for Minnesota forward Charlie Coyle, as you were mentioning a minute ago, trading Ryan Donato and a 2019 fifth-round pick, conditional one, to the Wild. Weymouth guy, Mr. Coyle.
See, I wanted to double-check that. I think I had heard that a couple. I just wanted to make sure that he's local. And
South Shore kid.
And he's from Weymouth. I feel like people are saying that. I just wanted to double-check.
Now, why would that matter?
What?
Why would you have to double-check that?
I think he was being facetious.
No, I was being facetious.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we get this right. I heard he's from Weymouth.
Yeah.
I heard he went to BU.
So Rick is Tommy Glavine. It's like you have to say Weymouth Charlie Coyle. Right. That's what happened. The whole thing on social media last night was, how could they trade Ryan Donato? Boy, did they give up on him early. And I like this trade a lot.
Well,
it's exactly what the Bruins need.
He's 26. He's had this season 10 goals, 18 assists in the 60 games that he's played. His career high in points is 56, and that was just 2 years ago or two seasons ago. And he had 21 goals in 2015, 2016. So, I mean, he's still young. The guy's – okay, so if you –
Signed through next season.
If you took a look at where he ranked with current Bruins, he'd be right there with Jake DeBrusk as far as, like, goals, as far as points. As far as points, I think he's right there with Jake DeBrusk.
If you popped him in, that's where he'd fall in the hierarchy.
DeBrusk is a goal scorer. This guy isn't.
Okay,
really.
But they've needed a third-line center for a while.
And this is what he is. That's exactly where, ultimately, after Pastrnak comes back, he should slot in. I guess I was reading they're going to try him on Krejci's line at least on Saturday afternoon. But ultimately, he's a third-line center.
Perfect. From my – and look, I don't pretend to be an expert on Charlie Coyle other than where he grew up. But I don't think it's a good fit in the top six, right?
He's a top nine forward.
He's not a scorer. You just said it. He's not a goal scorer. Career high at 21, I think, 3 years ago.
He's got 10 in 60 games this year.
Yeah. Yep. He's scored 20 goals once in his career. So he's not a goal scorer. He's probably not a great fit on Krejci's line. Third line center, though, they do need. I just hope, again, they're not done. I'll feel a lot differently about giving up Ryan Donato, who... I do think they're selling low on, but I'm okay with that, assuming that they're thinking bigger than this. This can't be the only move, or this can't be the biggest move. If you're making a move to fortify that third line, then you better make a move to fortify Krejci's line, too. And I hope this is the first step in tandem with something else. If this is it, then it's not enough, and then I will lament giving up Donato.
All right, let's go to Mark on line three. Mark, what's up, man? Good morning. You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys? Couple of things. But first, hey, Rich, I wanted to jump through my television last night, and if I could put my hands around the neck of the arena announcer last night, he was the most obnoxious and loud, annoying person in that building last night.
Yeah.
But on the Bruins itself, do you think this year, they're going to meet Tampa Bay again with the balanced scoring that they're getting right now that they desperately needed? Do you think they'd be more of a problem for Tampa Bay this go-around?
I don't think so.
Tampa Bay's historically good this year.
Right, and they just got better than – they're better than last year. And right now the Bruins, you can't say the same. The Bruins seem to be, as far as being a good team and how effective they're going to be in the playoffs, I don't see them being much better than they were
right
last year.
They're right back where they were last
year. Now they're hot, and which is great, and maybe that means something. And Pastrnak obviously is a force, and once he comes back – listen, who knows? The playoffs, weird stuff happens. But just looking at the two teams right now – I mean, you have one team in the NHL that just looks like it's calling everyone boy, and that's Tampa Bay. So it's like I'm not getting my hopes up too
Tampa's
much.
Tampa's 15 points ahead of Calgary for first place.
Yeah, they're unbelievable.
Also, you got to get past Toronto.
Yes.
So guy's like, oh, they're going to meet Tampa again. Well,
I get what he's saying, and everyone feels really good about what they're doing. But I do like the fact that finally that revolving door at the third line center. What would they have? Like, you know, Corrali, you know, Forsbeck and Carlson,
JFK, Frederick, you know, Frederick.
It's like, you know, at some point it would be nice to have a guy you could just count on.
No, that
to be
consistent. That I agree with. Just if that's your move, that's not enough.
That can't be. And by the way, this is a very modest amount of money too that they got it for. It's like $3 million or something.
Yeah, 3.25 next year.
So
yeah.
they've got room to do something else. More than likely will not be it,
and
I believe.
They only gave up their fifth-round pick, so, like, you still have your first, you still have your second, you still have other prospects you can move, so they shouldn't be done.
Yeah, okay, we got good news for Patriots fans, great news for Red Sox fans. The best off-season move of the year did not happen on the actual diamond. It happened in the broadcast booth. We will get to that and so much more.
Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion. Gronkowski, left side.
From your flagship station for Patriots football, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones in this morning, and I was very excited yesterday because the best offseason move that the Red Sox made is not indeed on the playing field. It's in the booth.
Oh, he got smoked.
Oh, yeah. More Dennis Eckersley, baby. Bring me that feathered hair and that wonderful cheese and clear out a space for the Trans Am because we're getting an assload of Eck next season. As a matter of fact, for the next five seasons, Nesson put out a statement yesterday, and originally Dennis Eckersley said, "I'm excited to announce my experience." I have a feeling that he did this while he was looking at the hair dryer. And the little back was just
a little hand mirror,
just like flipping in the back as he was like checking out and like, you know, ripping a cool bud. He said, "I'm excited to announce my expanded role with Nesson. I just signed a 5-year deal to do 85 games, more games than ever. Looking forward to the 2019 season. Repeat, go Red Sox." And first I was like, hey, that's great. We're going to get Dennis Eckersley for 85 games spread over 5 years. That's awesome. I'll take whatever Eckersley I can get. And then he clarified on Twitter, 85 games a year.
Oh, my goodness.
So finally, Nesson does something smart. Because anytime he's in the booth, it's a better product. Like, I mean, he does a great job with the games. I think he blows away Jerry Remy. People love Jerry Remy, but Dennis Eckersley's my guy. However, when the three of them are in there together, it's great. It really is. Because it even makes Jerry Remy comes out and, like, lightens up. He starts telling stories, and the two of them go back and forth. And from what I'm reading, apparently for as many as 30 Red Sox games this season, you're going to have a three-man booth. Which, that is about the best news you could get. However, there's some other stuff in here where there's certain people that are going to be filling in, like Carlos Pena and Saltalamacchia, have you heard him do any kind of broadcasting before?
No, he's just retired.
Yeah.
Hasn't he done some studio work for them, hasn't he?
I don't know.
I think he has. I don't know if he's done in-game.
Like where Wakefield usually is, if they popped him in there?
I think so.
Jared Saltalamacchia,
they've put so many people on their TV broadcasts, and I'm usually on, so I don't always get to hear him, but I think I've seen him doing stuff on Nesson. Maybe it's only pre and post.
I mean, he seemed like a likable guy. I mean, and I think we used to have him on the show, didn't we? And he was pretty good.
Maybe we had him once or twice.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a regular guest or something like that. But yeah, I think he's supposed to be okay. But Carlos Pena would have.
During the second half of 2017, Saltalamacchia worked as a studio analyst and made his debut as a color commentator.
Okay,
all right.
Play-by-play announcer alongside Dave O'Brien.
There's no Gomes though. Gomes completely left off. He's not going to be there.
Isn't he like a roving hitting instructor for the Arizona Diamondbacks or something?
Yeah, he's like, something tells me it's not even like an official title. It's just he shows up and practices
blazing in Arizona.
And just starts talking to guys and like pretends he's part of the team.
Yeah, they're like, Johnny, we got batting practice right now. Can you go?
Back when I played left field at Fenway Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Tom Caron's going to be back as the in-studio host. Jim Rice, Tim Wakefield, Steve Lyons, Lenny DiNardo, Manny Del Carmen. Manny Del Carmen, that's interesting.
I think he's a local guy. I think that's worth double-checking.
Did you see the tweets?
Yeah.
Is that where you found that out?
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't get none of those names excite me. I don't even think Jim Rice is that good in studio.
Well,
I think Jim Rice is because of his legend status.
Yeah, he stinks.
I think it's like comforting to people. It's like, oh, it's Jim Rice. I don't think he's that great on the broadcast.
Yeah, stinks.
Seems like a good guy. Doesn't do anything for me. Wakefield, once again, great guy from everything I know about him.
Stinks.
Not stink.
They stink. Here's the thing.
There's no one that moves the needle on this list.
Here's the thing. With Eckersley, what do you think changed? Because supposedly he wouldn't do these games because he didn't want to travel. Like, Nesson wanted him to do it.
Money.
He didn't want to do it. Well, okay, right. So there's your answer. How do you end up with Lenny DiNardo and Tim Wakefield and Jared Saltalamacchia? Because you have to break the bank for Eckersley, which is fine. But that's how you end up with those guys.
See, it's a salary cap issue.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I would think.
I think you're right.
What else is the explanation?
Yeah, it's a salary cap issue.
Yeah, that's fine. Pay him whatever he wants and get him to work more games. And if that means Lenny DiNardo, then fine.
Now, also think now he's back on the plane with David Price.
Sure.
Back on the plane with David Price.
Well, yeah. David Price holds all the cards now. So
that's true.
You can't really say anything now.
How do you think Bill James feels about this?
Did anybody ask the owner, when Werner and John Henry went out there, did anybody ask him about Bill James and his shenanigans over the past?
No.
Several months tweets.
Maybe they did. I'd imagine it would have got traction. No. I don't pretend to pour through spring training transcripts, but no, I would highly doubt that they asked that question.
And to be quite honest, I really don't even care about the answer, but it's just a borderline uncomfortable question, and I like those. I like when something gets thrown out there, because as Shaughnessy said, it was going to be a stroke fest this year. It was like, hey, what makes the team so great? Because there's not a lot of drama. And you know, if you're a fan of the team, that's great, but it makes for a boring preseason. You know,
yes.
The big question is, who's their closer? All right.
Right.
You know, and to be quite honest, right now, you can't doubt what this manager is able to do with random guys. He's proven everyone wrong. And if he's got a plan, I'm going to trust it, because until he shows me otherwise that he doesn't know what he's doing, anything he says, he could say that I'm going to make Pedroia the closer. And I'll be like, you know, it's probably going to work.
You know what? That might work.
Because everything you've done has worked. So I don't even feel any kind of drama or stress when it comes to that part of it either. Now, they are saying that there's a new report that I guess the Kimbrel talks might be back on, despite what Tom Werner said, because I think he's starting to lower the price tag a little bit.
You think Tom Werner might be wrong about something baseball related?
Possibly.
That can't be true.
I just like how he got permission to speak from John Henry. It's like, you want to take this one? You can have this one.
Go ahead.
And he's shaking like Dr. Katz in the corner. Doesn't want anyone to say a word to him. Please don't call on me. He's the kid in left field in the Brian Regan's kid. Don't hit it to me. Don't hit it to me. Please don't hit it to me. Ah, good old Tom Werner. Okay, well, this is kind of interesting. So the strength of schedule was calculated for the upcoming NFL season. And take a look who has probably, let's see, it's the second easiest schedule going into next season. Your New England Patriots. They ended up just taking the records of every team that they played last season, or every team that played last season that they're going to face, and it's a record of 120, 134, and 2. So the only team with a easier schedule than they have is the Washington Redskins.
So they play a losing record, basically.
Yeah, they do. No, it's not basically. They do.
Not week to week, obviously, but over the course of 17 years, and a lot can change. Guys haven't been drafted. Free agents haven't signed. But as an early guidepost, they have the second easiest schedule in the NFL, which makes sense. Look at their division.
Yeah, they got the luck of the draw here. What do they have? The AFC North and the NFC East?
Yeah, I mean that, but just it's even more simple than that. They always have easy schedules when these things come out, because you have the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins, and those teams are never good.
Sure.
So that's the bulkier schedule, and generally the Patriots, this time of year especially, have what's considered an easy road.
And I'm taking a look at the toughest strength of schedule. And that would be
the Oakland
Raiders. Yeah. Oh, John Gruden, you got to get him on Hard Knocks. He has to go on Hard Knocks. It's going to be, this year's also, it's going to be another disaster again.
You see Matt Patricia's like openly campaigning that they put the Raiders on there because the Lions so badly don't want to be on. He's like, I think John Gruden would be a great fit.
And that's
one of
the few reasons I wouldn't mind the Lions to be on there, because Matt Patricia wants it, like, does not want it at all.
No.
And I also want to see whether or not he has the same thing that McDaniels had out in Denver and Mangini did, where it's like,
I want the Lions
on Belichick.
I want Patricia and the Lions on it for that reason.
Oh, come on. With Gruden?
No. It might not be good television, but it would be great for us. It would be great potential audio and, you know, piling on with Matt Patricia.
You win either way. Either way, you win with either one. Okay, we'll get to the Celtics and what happened with Kyrie Irving last night. On top of that, Zion Williamson had one of the more strange injuries that I've ever seen. Enough to where you saw Barack Obama, who was in the front row, freak out. Have you seen his face?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, it was unbelievable. And for people to pay the amount of money that they paid last night to go to that game.
It's hilarious.
And for that to happen within the first, like, 30 seconds, it was just, you couldn't have scripted it any stranger. So we'll get to that. And also this Kyrie Irving audio right after this.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.5 of Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. If you're wondering later on today why potentially Nike stock might be falling, it's because on what might have been the biggest stage so far for Zion Williamson. Yesterday, Zion Williamson is a guy that a lot of people are calling a generational talent. A lot of people are blowing him up to be, you know, maybe even bigger than what he is. But he's a superstar in college basketball. Everyone knows his name. He's a monster. He plays for Duke. Everyone watches Duke anyway. And last night, it was Duke, North Carolina. And the tickets for this were more expensive than going to the Super Bowl.
At Cameron Indoor Stadium, which is not a big place.
No.
So that intensifies the need. And I saw Spike Lee. I saw Ken Griffey Jr.
Barack Obama was front row.
I mean, there are a lot of well-known athletes and
tickets,
other people like.
Tickets going for $3,000.
Yep.
Yeah, and being sold for $3,000 to see a college basketball game that was just a regular season game. Because everyone now wants to see the rock stars of college basketball, this Duke team, and especially Zion Williamson.
Who, by the way, has 2.5 million followers on Instagram. So, people watch his YouTube video. Like, he has a massive following.
Okay. And on top of that, this is going to be you're going to see the ratings for this game last night, and they're going to be through the roof. People who don't even watch college basketball wanted to see Duke, North Carolina.
Yeah. And ESPN rolled out the red carpet, like the hype machine for game yesterday. Yeah.
And that's why, if you're Nike, this is a nightmare come true for you.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe.
I have never seen anything like this before. 30 seconds into the game, he slips, and the whole bottom of his shoe, like opening a can, just flops open, and his sock and his foot in his sock just slide out the bottom of it. I've never seen that happen before.
I've never seen it.
So
I've seen shoes blow out. I've never seen your whole foot blow through the bottom of the shoe. Yeah, I've never seen that.
It was you're right. It wasn't like just like a little crack.
No, or like a tear or something like that. No,
a sardine can. Like, if you were to take your shoe upside down and rip off the bottom of it, that's what it looked like. And of course, it doesn't help that, you know, Barack Obama is on there going, he blew out his shoe, and he like points at it. So this is going to go viral. This is going to go everywhere. And meanwhile, Puma sent out a tweet yesterday that said, wouldn't have happened in Pumas.
which they since deleted because Williamson is injured.
And I mean, what a freak accident, but what a bad day for Nike. So here is Mike Krzyzewski afterwards.
The very first thing is just to address that. It's a mild knee sprain. The knee is stable. We don't know how long he'll be out. I think we'll find out more about that.
Okay.
So that's that.
Yeah, that is that. So Nike has put out a statement saying they are working to identify the issue. Now, he's a – which is great.
He's 290 pounds. That might have something to do with it.
Is he 290?
Yes. He's 285.
6'8", 290.
And he is I thought when I first saw him, I'm like, oh, he's fat. He is not fat.
He's jacked.
He is all muscle, that guy. Yeah.
How much does Giannis weigh?
Oh, look.
Because Giannis looks bigger than
230,
him.
230, 240?
Yeah,
he's not a big guy.
It's got to be less than that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll check it
because
out.
Because Giannis looks like an action figure.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron listed at? LeBron's listed at like 250.
Yeah, no, LeBron, yeah. LeBron's like 20 or 30 pounds lighter than this kid.
That's insane.
Yeah,
So there you go. And he grabbed his right knee in pain, which, of course, and you should have just seen Mike Krzyzewski's face. He said, like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, listen, I've got no sympathy for a guy like Mike Krzyzewski.
Giannis is my meal ticket.
Giannis is listed 6'11", 242. This kid is 6'8", 290.
Jeez, man. I mean, he's just an absolute tank. But, I mean, just get ready. I guarantee you on all the talk shows this morning, there's going to be a Nike representative. I mean, you want to talk about taking a major blow to your product. I mean, on one of the biggest stages during the regular season with the biggest star in college basketball, he's out because of your product.
Okay. LeBron James is listed 35 pounds lighter than this kid.
Yeah, he's listed at 250.
Yeah.
I just double-checked that. Like, and LeBron has to be heavier than that, by the way, but he's listed at 250. I would wager that Williamson will sign with Nike when he's out. They're not going to let him get away. You know,
so you think that they're going to basically, like, because you have to. If you're Nike, I think you have to do that. You have to buy back his graces.
Yeah, I mean, look,
you have to throw as much money as possible at him to make it be like, because if he goes to, let's say, Adidas.
Puma's made a big run last year.
But with who?
Terry Rozier.
And DeAndre Ayton, who was the number one pick, but like.
Yeah, well, that's significant, is it not?
But not compared to Zion Williamson,
though.
No,
like,
he doesn't have the buzz.
You get the number one pick in the NBA draft. That's pretty significant.
Sure.
And it paves the way for something in the future.
How do we describe Zion? He is generational, right? At least in terms of buzz. I don't know what he'll be for a player.
Sure.
They will not let him get away. Nike does not lose battles like this. They've been embarrassed. They may have to pay him more money. I would borderline guarantee he's going to end up with Nike.
Okay, so who's going to pay more money? Nike, that knows it will be a major PR hit if he doesn't sign back with them, or a company like New Balance or Puma that knows if we do indeed steal him from Nike,
we'll get market
share. It's the biggest story.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I mean, I guess watch a company like Under Armour maybe, because they actually really do compete at a high level with Nike, but I just think Nike will pay whatever it takes.
New Balance is just Kawhi, right? Like as far as like the big names in the NBA, like that's their guy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's Kawhi.
Yeah. I'm not huge on the sneaker war stuff, but I just Nike will they'll pay what it
See
takes.
That, this is fascinating to me because the amount of money it might be. I don't want to say a record deal because the Derrick Rose thing was just absolutely absurd. The amount of money he made for his it was Reebok, right? I think it was Reebok.
Rose?
Derrick Rose.
Rose is Adidas.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it was like more money than he'll ever make playing basketball. Yeah. He made from his sneaker deal, and he got like injured like right after.
I know, and then Adidas whiffed on it. Yeah,
yeah, they did. But this is going to be because of the massive PR hit they're going to get. Oh, it's going to be hysterical. Roll tapes on Good Morning America this morning because I'm telling you, Nike guys are going to be all over the place. This is so bad. It's such a bad look.
Plus, nobody buys their stuff already because of the Kaepernick protest. So now Nike's really going to be in trouble now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, think about it. Like, you know, this has been a back and forth year with them because they did really well because of the Kaepernick thing. A lot of people predicted that they were going to fail, but instead it did the opposite. So you had that, and now you've got this, which you can't explain. Like, you can't go out there and say, well, here's why it happened. It happened to the biggest star in basketball, and he's injured because of you. So who's going to want to buy those shoes now? Like, if you're walking around and you have a choice between that and, oh, Kawhi Leonard's using these New Balance, blah, 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 blah. I mean, stock's going to take a hit, without a doubt.
Temporarily.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, people will just forget about it as they always do.
People forget about it, and they'll be like, oh, you see Zion Williamson's dunk? I want his shoes. That's what's going to happen.
Well, nothing says it's time for basketball more than when Kyrie Irving speaks, because I just want him to play. I just want everyone to stop talking. I just want him to start playing.
Finally, tonight.
And yes. I thought it was done after the ESPN interview, but I think last night's was, I don't want to say the most concerning, but I think on both sides, on both the media side of it and Kyrie Irving's side, nobody looks good in what happened last night. If you haven't heard it, Kyrie went off on a reporter last night. I think it was Steve Bolpet.
Yes, of the Herald. Yep.
Asking about the video of him speaking to Kevin Durant as to whether or not it was about him going to New York, and Kyrie unloaded. We'll have that audio right, no commercials, right after John Walk's headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.
foundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.